Blog Talk Radio.
I think what you're trying to ask is, why am I so insistent upon giving out to them that blackness, that black power, that black pushing them to identify with black culture? I think that's what you're asking. I have no choice over it. In the first place, to me, we are the most beautiful creatures in the whole world, black people. I mean, and I mean that in every sense, outside and inside. And to me, we have a culture that is surpassed by no other civilization, but we don't know anything about it.
From somewhere over that rainbow that wasn't enough. She had a butter type of fly that was more moth to cloth. Chew you to threads and throw up Prada, that devil's guard. Tattooed arrows right next to her scars make them pop. That's that good girl, black girl magic. She still listens to Yonsei, but needs Badu to speak her truth. Nobody suits her but that king, crown on. Welcome to the black woman, where stars are born and legends are made through the blood of a slave and the heart of a queen, crown on. This be that royalty flow, that mama's gun. This is that Mississippi goddamn, because the war is still not won. Aside a tide of bulletins, she wants bullets. Trigger finger itching and ready to go, but I don't want to be the one to pull it. Mama's in the kitchen cooking rice, baby on her back, strap up boots. Go out and save the world by yourself with no man to lead the fight. You can have that problem. My man is bodied by God just so he can solve them. He said, where your heart at? I said, hey God, where your art at? We color outside the lines like preschool. Fuck your boundaries. We be that Picasso, Basquiat type flow. We do work like put them paws on them. Put everything on the table like put them flaws on them. Crown on.
My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means.
Dear human beings, we are forever becoming. Let your love last stronger and longer than when you are coming. Dummy up for some of them like the media clowns. They say they hid it in a book so it couldn't be found. Be library. Don't forget your sacred text. Don't you know he put a ruler in this earth just to see how deep shit gets? Big brother ain't the only one watching you. We all calling for justice. If you need hip hop to tell you what or else is, then that's self-destruction. Crown on. I am here for that. If there are 10,000 men marching, then I call for 10,000 women to have their back. I knew that I knew her from somewhere over that rainbow that wasn't enough. Crown on. Tilt your crown, black girl. Let them color you tough, black girl. Remember, only the strong go crazy and the weak just go along in this world. Crown on.
Responsible, and loving mate. The black man will respect me, and he sees me because I am the black woman, the original woman, mother of civilization and nurture of the black nation.
Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the fools. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the schools. Or else they'll be zealots like you, spending half their life trying to find the truth. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the schools. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the fools. Or else they'll be lost like you, spending half their life trying to find the truth. Teach the seeds.
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 I pledge allegiance to my black people. I pledge to develop my mind and body to the greatest extent possible. I will learn all that I can in order to give my best to my people and their struggle for liberation. I will keep myself physically fit, building a strong body free from drugs and other substances which weaken me and make me less capable of protecting myself, my family, and my black brothers and sisters. I will unselfishly share my knowledge and understanding with them in order to bring about change more quickly. I will discipline myself to direct my energy thoughtfully and constructively rather than wasting them in idle hatred. I will train myself never to hurt or allow others to harm my black brothers and sisters, for I recognize that we need every black man, woman, and child to be physically, mentally, and psychologically strong. These principles I pledge to practice daily and to teach them to others in order to unite my people.
Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the fools. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the schools. Or else they'll be zealots like you, spending half their life trying to find the truth. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the schools. Teach the seeds, don't leave it to the fools. Or else they'll be lost like you, spending half their life trying to find the truth. Teach the seeds.
Black power.
Teach the seeds.
Warfare.
Teach the seeds.
Economics.
Teach the seeds.
Black science.
Teach the seeds.
It's time to go back.
Peace and Black Power family, welcome to another episode of Duke Knowledge Radio, place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born a Lock. We are here on our Solidarity Saturday episode with our warrior sister, the Queen Mother, Sister Lima, a.k.a. Lili La Poete Speaks, is in the building. Family, that phone number to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It's a remarkable opportunity to welcome back to the platform this African warrior queen mother, our sister, who is a shining example of African righteousness, a shining example of being self-reliant and being self-sufficient, that shining example of the ideal African woman who has graciously, came on the platform to walk us through this wonderful project, Perception of a Misplaced African, Volume 1, and to share out of her sheer generosity, opportunity for 10 people to get a free copy of this book. So, call in, family, the phone number again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the summer, present to others, and welcome blacks to the platform, Do the Knowledge Radio, our sister Alima, a.k.a. Leave it out for what takes speakers in the building.
I'm happy to be here once again with Brother Do the Knowledge. Just wanted to uplift Brother Do the Knowledge. Brother, you really dedicated to the people. You know, you love the business, you love African liberation, and that's what we need. We need more people like you, my brother, and I appreciate you having me today.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege. You know, every so often, it used to be more often than not that we would get together and we would take opportunities to celebrate one another. You know, contrary to popular belief, African people did gather together other than when somebody passes, someone makes a transition. You know, we would get together regularly, and in these opportunities, we would celebrate our elders, we would celebrate our peer group, we would celebrate our youth, you know. In this viral, you know, construct that we exist in, more too often than not, we see, you know, derogatory interactions mm-hmm. with one another because everything mm-hmm. and everyone is looking to go viral. And the virus yeah. is something that attacks the body. You know, it yeah. exists for a particular purpose to test the body, to for the body to build up an immunity to it. So, you know, roots and, you know, community is immunity and also unity. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. A virus can exist to make you stronger, but we have seen this degradation do the opposite, you know. And if more examples aren't there with the true functionality of the body to show it in optimal health, then we won't have unity, you know, because we don't have unity within ourselves. So we have a lot of mm-hmm. sickness that's in ourselves that begins to plague on and prey on the good things. So any opportunity I can get to see an African woman, an African man, African children doing great things, I want to celebrate them. So, you know, that was a foundational piece of this platform and a differentiator between many of the platforms that were out there. It is all about the guests. You know, like, I exist here as a facilitator, not even a host. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, just here in the facilitation, in the resurgence of the African mind, so, you know, we can get back in line and celebrate our family. And I know, if I know anything about you and King, y'all are definitely family oriented. You know what I mean? So, anything I can do to celebrate you and those wonderful children that you have, you know, it's an inspiration. You know, definitely inspiration.
Thank you, brother. And I heard you mention the resurgence of the African mind. And speaking of the resurgence of the African mind, if anyone is not privy to, I am co-host of a book club entitled Resurgence of the African Mind, where we seek to liberate African minds by reading one unit of work at a time. And we do our shows every Sunday, family, at 7 o'clock. Deanna Bailey, friends with her on Facebook. You can link up with her. You can link up with me on Facebook, Alima Njie, AlimaNjie. And we post the link every Sunday. We are going to be, the next book we're going to read is Talonomics. If I'm not mistaken, I'm excited about that. So we're going to be reading Talonomics, family. So if you want to join us, you should be probably starting back in another 2 weeks. So you have time to order your book and then just join us on Sundays.
Man, that's going to be amazing. Palynomics. I'm liking the, you know, the shift in thought, you know, not staying in one particular lane or line, you know. It's a variant. It's a multitude of works, you know, by scholars. So, yeah, I think that's a great opportunity.
We need to be improved as black people in so many different facets, so we can't just focus on it.
Right. Yeah, we're holistic people when we're whole.
That's right.
And when we're broken, we're fractionalized people. So we've been dealing with that. So I don't even know if I need to ask you anything about yourself. I know so much yet so little, you know, about you. You see what I'm saying? And one of the things that I admire is your balanced approach. You know, your balanced approach, and the approach is very, very, very balanced. You know, one of the posts that I saw from you most recently, you said, you know, it's funny how the person who advocates against the bully, appears to be the bully, you know, and I mm-hmm. thought that was very profound, you know, and, you know, you gave some examples of that, you know, is that something that's always been you, or is that something, you know, you developed over time?
I've always been that way, you know, and my mother says too, but I meant to a certain extent, because sometimes I may take up for people and they don't deserve it. That's always been a part of my personality. I can't sit around and watch people be attacked, even if I don't necessarily agree with what it is that you're attacking. Like, let's say, for instance, people are attacking homosexuals. Okay, I don't agree with that. I don't condone it, but at the same time, I don't think that no one should be bullied for it. And that's their choice. As long as they're not trying to promote, you know, their way of life in a way that is being pushed off on other people, and they're just living their lives, I think they should be left alone. And it goes the same with Christians or anything else that person can disagree with. That's not reason to attack people, because at the end of the day, they're still our brothers and sisters. But yeah, also talk, when you take it from the underdog, you are automatically viewed as the bully. And I have been viewed that way. I thought not certain posts that I made on social media, if people get offended. But my point in doing this is to show you how it feels. So you don't like it when it's done to you. It offends you. So how do you think it makes them feel? That's the whole point. If you don't like it, then they don't like it. Treat people the way that you want to be treated, point blank, period. And just be mature enough to just ignore what you don't like. It's that simple.
That's right. And I think that's a good quality to have. You know, many of us have become extremists, you know, myself included, you know, on certain aspects, you know, in regards to liberation. There's no middle ground for me for liberation. So, you know, oftentimes I don't even voice those views in a certain company because I don't want anybody acting out of their character. I was born this way, you know. I was born this way, and I was given a particular assignment. So, you know, some of the things that might sound like heresy to some people, it sounds like normal to me. You see what I'm saying? But if it's truly them, you know, you can tell if it's them or, you know, they're trying to, you know, I wouldn't even want those kind of people around me. I want them to be who they are. If this is you, this is you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We can coexist in a way. You know what I mean? But if it's not you, that's worse than somebody, you know, with malintent. You see what I'm saying? Because it's bad for me. So with this project, I know we kind of went through it, the last time we were on. But, you know, for the newer viewers that are coming in, could you tell them about this particular project and, you know, what was your thought process and, you know, your compilation process to put all of these wonderful pieces together?
Okay, so in Perceptions of a Misplaced African, my approach was to basically just write my viewpoint on certain things that, it's a very varied topic, but most of the book was geared towards certain experiences that we as African people have dealt with. And I'm giving my perception on certain things, but putting it in a poetic manner. And I titled it a poetry novel because it's almost like telling a story. So because a lot of people, in my opinion, they're not very visual, you know, because there's so many metaphors and similes and things that you have to peek through. So it's not necessarily like a story. So I wanted to take a different approach. The poem is more so like a story so that you can visualize what it is that I'm saying because I've read the book with. So I have different things that talk about how brothers call themselves niggas. I talk about abuse. I talk about molestation. You know, I talk about our talk here and our way here. I talk about what happened when we got here, police brutality. So just a little bit, you can think of that we can deal with. And of course, there's a little love in there as well. But pretty much anything you could think of that we've dealt with here in America, this is what I talk about. You know, and I try to stress people because everyone does it. Sometimes it's hard to understand. So I can understand. I wanted to make sure that I put it in a way that even people who don't necessarily read poetry, they can still understand.
Right. So how long did it take you to complete the project?
It took me probably about 8 months to complete it. Yeah, then maybe another month or so trying to find an editor and get the cover done. I think it was about a year.
Okay. For young writers that are out there, you know, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would definitely say if you are in the position to publish your own work, I would say publish your own work. That's my personal opinion. Some people don't mind using publishers and things of that nature, but I don't want to give people the copyrights to my work and have them pretty much just pay me for what I've done. So keep that in mind, young writers, is that if you get a publisher, they do own the copyright, or at least the sense of the copyright to your work. But if you publish it yourself, then you own it yourself. But the difference is you have to keep it down. But when you publish on your own, you are responsible for the marketing. And so that's where it was very tricky, and that's where the money starts going out, because you have to pay for marketing. As to opposed to if you had a publishing company, they market it for you. So that, I would say, that's the biggest thing. It's probably the biggest thing to keep in mind. Only the marketing is pretty simple. Whatever you want to write, get it published. Why not?
So in this non-book reading age or time, do you find yourself affected by that or not so much?
I don't think so, because the thing about books is that there's always going to be readers. You just have to make sure that you are where the readers are, that you put your work where the readers are, you know, because literary works will always be around. And the thing about it is, they were around before television, and if television and electricity and all that was to go away, oh, everyone would be doing
that. Right.
But yeah, only people, though, it's nothing like a good book. Like books, like if you read the book Harry Potter and watch the movie, two totally different things. Like, they can get in more visually. It can tell more of the story than a movie ever could. And if only I could see that, that's how interesting books really are.
Yeah, I remember that with every Stephen King book that I read, and even Jurassic Park, I was in a whole nother place, you know, with all of the movie series and even the remakes that they made, they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji also, you know, it was another thing. Yeah, and this is going to sound funny, but sometimes I appreciated being poor because I wouldn't have been able to have been in that position to where I had my imagination, you know. I had
That's
to use
right.
my imagination a lot of times. And,
That's
and,
right.
and I misbehaved
That's
a lot in school, so
I was
on punishment. You know, I was on punishment. You know, I think I'm still on punishment right now. You know,
you and me both, brother.
Yeah, I was there with books. I had books galore. I had books galore. It was books everywhere. My sister's books, my older brother's books, my sister's college books. It was books everywhere. So. You know, my
That's
mother
how we
figured
grew
it out.
And my mother used to go to flea markets. So people always getting rid of the books. She would bring us boxes just full of books. And she did the same thing for the children, just books and books, and we'd read all week.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bunch of books everywhere. You know, my mother figured it out. She was like, man, all you got to do is leave his ass alone with some books. He'll be all right. And it was my calm space, because that was the only place in the world where I didn't have to, you know, fight. You know, I didn't have to, you know, struggle, because I wasn't letting nothing happen to none of my loved ones. You know what I'm saying? You mess with my sisters, I'm fighting. You disrespect my mother, I'm fighting. My brothers, I'm fighting. My cousins, I'm fighting. You understand what I'm saying? So in that one little bit of space, it was there, you know. Also, me like yourself, I never liked to bully, you know. Yeah, and I got in trouble a lot, you know, because of that. So I had a lot of time with those books, you know, so I had to, you know, spend my time there in solitude, you know, just with those books. So
speaking of bullying, I remember one time I was trying to, I called myself because I wanted to fit in more. I think I was about 12 or 13. And there was this girl named Alicia, and people had always bullied her, but I was always the one who had her back. But as I got older, you know, you become a teenager and you don't quite fit in, you want to fit in with other people. So I wanted to fit in, so I played this prank on her and, like, offered her some candy. I think it was candy or something like that. But the bag was empty, you know. So when she saw that, I, like, picked her from everybody and got really upset. And she, like, jerked me up, like, picked my feet up off the ground, like, jerked me up against the lock. I mean, you know, dead ass. Like, and I wasn't even embarrassed. I was hurt because I knew that I hurt her, number one. Two, I knew that it was so unnecessary. I was like, you're trying to fit in? Like, it's not going to be your characteristic. And, you know, that was the one time that I probably went against my teammates. And it really just confirmed to me that, you know, bullying, number one, is not cool. And number two, this is not your position. Your position in life has always been the underdog. So that's why I fight so hard for my people, because we are the underdogs. We really are, everywhere. Even in Africa, where we're from, where that's our hometown.
And everybody loves a good story of the underdog, you know, coming up, you know. Dante Wilder, I know everybody went wild over the videos, you know.
They did.
He got some business to handle tonight, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a beautiful thing, you see what I'm saying, to have that opportunity, you know. Warriors live for that kind of confrontation. Like, I live for that. Like, you said, what? What are you talking about?
And it was also true, but this is the only, I was on the opposite side. Like, don't get me wrong, I felt everything that he said. But in my opinion, one thing that we have to learn is to control our emotions. And see, what happened was his emotions got a vest of him, and so he didn't take that opportunity, which was a golden opportunity, to really break it the fuck down, what he was saying. You feel what I'm saying? Instead of just saying, man, you know what I'm talking about. Nah, but there's people that are watching you that really don't know what you're talking about. We have to really understand that everyone is not on the same page. Even though we say, how the hell could you not know about slavery or racism? People, it's like they know, but they don't know until it affects them. This is me and my husband were talking about. So when we have opportunities like that, that was his opportunity to really break it down. I mean, really break it down. Explain it to them crackers that are sitting there staring at you with the mic in their hands. Answer that coon who asked you a question. That was your opportunity. In my opinion, it was a missed opportunity, and it would have been much more stronger had he really broke down what he meant. That's just my opinion. But I felt him either way.
I think it was another video that preceded it that I saw. I kind of saw them out of sync. I only saw that one because everybody was pushing it. And he kind of did give some examples with about the crackers before that. So I think that was like right coming off right after that. I think, you know, what he said, he asked him that question, like, what did you mean by that? And I think he was more hurt. Like, come on, like, for real? Like, you doing this? You doing this? Like, I just got finished with them. Like, okay, them. But you, brother, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, your people, like bridging the gap. So I think that they took advantage of an opportunity where he was already flustered after, you know, going through it with those cats out there.
Right.
And then you get a brother, you know, to come right after. So I don't think any context right. was given. But I saw them separate, so I didn't, you know, put them two together. And I was like, wait a minute.
And he said okay. about perception. So you could perceive yeah. it as the brother right. was trying to funny, or you could perceive it as he was literally trying to give him an opportunity to explain it.
Right. Yeah, that's another angle, too. You see what I'm saying? And
right.
that's where creativity comes in. And that's the beauty of the African woman, to be able to see stuff nobody else will see. You understand what I'm saying? Like, what you think about that? Like, that's deep. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. I just, you know, I know how they play games, too. You know what I'm saying? I know
right.
how they play games. Right. And I know how they use light, sound, because it's all theater. You see what I'm saying? It's all a play. So,
yeah.
they reveal things to you real slow. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
people was just so electrified that there's even someone to speak boldly in that kind of manner with that kind of, you know, that kind of passion. You
mm-hmm.
see what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
the mental emasculation and the mental grafting process that's been taking place, you know, with the African man. You see what I'm saying? So to see one like that, you know, I'm like, okay, this other one, I'm just waiting for the ring. Then that's what I want to see, you know, the Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that part right there. You see what I'm saying? Like, you know, so I want to see that, you know, that ferociousness that exists. And I'm fresh off of my Creed 2, you know, went to see Creed 2. Everybody who's listening, you know what I'm saying? Y'all need to go see Creed 2, you know, take that African
yeah,
woman and African children to go see Creed 2, you know, and go through that. I think that movie, the way they did that movie, you know what I'm saying? I think it's worthy of a conversation. I think the brother did an excellent job on that film. Excellent. With you know, putting the whole story together, I think it was amazing. I think it was amazing.
I'll definitely be looking forward for it to come out on one, two, three movies or something.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if y'all got the bootleg man around, support the bootleg man. You know what I'm saying? You know, get the bootleg man off, you know, but if you get a chance to go to the theater. You see what I'm saying? I think that was excellent. You know what I mean? The way they shot it, the everything. They put a whole bunch of our struggle and history in there, you know, underline it. You know what I mean? And so if you look in, you see what's going on, you see what's happening, from a cultural perspective, from a boxing perspective, all of that. They didn't waste any moment with it. I think that's why the original brother didn't do the film. He said it was too close to his heart, too close to his own personal story to actually do part two. So he let his homie get that opportunity, and I think it was brilliant. I think he was there behind the scenes, you know, kind of whispering, like, make sure, you know, put that in there because, you know, they'll suck you up in Hollywood. You see what I'm saying? And they have it looking a whole other kind of way. You know what I mean? So his honor to his African queen. Too much. I'm about to get a movie away out here. I think that just, yeah, I mean, it was that's it, you know, and to have this fight coming up, you see what I'm saying? Tonight, you know, it's a fight. It's our fight, you know, and we continue to fight.
Well, he definitely has a lot more people watching.
Right. And I saw, you know, some of the interviews, they were asking those two, you know, Michael B. Jordan and the other guy, who they thought was going to win. And I thought that was very critical. Well, they was like, you know, it could go either way and blah, blah, blah. But Mike picked the brother, you know, the old dude. He picked the other dude. So that was clear. Like, so they was doing the whole lot. I'm telling you, like, they, you know, they do with this theater stuff. You know what I'm saying? But
you know
back to you in the book. Back to you in the book over here. I'm sorry. I've gotten these perceptions over here with this, you know. Our experience, from your perspective, I know you have a lot to say about our culture and our people. Just, you know, looking, what are some of the areas that we're doing good at and some areas that we need to improve from your perspective?
I think some areas that I see that we are improving are definitely holistic. We are booming when it's coming to holistic health and being vegans and being vegetarians and getting away from those relaxers and stepping away from the weeds. And now that area, those areas, we are really doing some things. And also when it comes to homeschooling, black children are being pulled out by the thousands every year in every home, and that's something we all know is very, very important. Education, what we're teaching our babies, what they're learning, who they're being taught from. And to be taught at home, like that, or dad, or grandma, like that's powerful, you know? So in those areas, really pushing through. You know, we have to still continue to work on the way we treat each other. I think that could stand to gain a little bit more work, because we still treat each other kind of bad.
Right.
We got to be better in that area. We got to treat our children better. We have to treat our children better so that we can groom and raise productive, not broken adults. Because too many of us are adults right now, and we're broken, and we're trying to fix each other. And we just need to keep that in mind with how we're raising the babies so that we don't repeat cycles of dysfunction that we keep passing down generation to generation to generation. So I think a lot of the things we need to work on is personal. I think we need to get ourselves together, because we're doing a lot of the big things. It's small numbers, but we're getting it done. But what we really need to work on is ourselves, our spirituality, our mental health, especially mental health. That's something that's not very important or, you know, very popular in the black community, but mental health, to have a positive mental health, is very important. So many of us are depressed and we don't even know it. Some of us are bipolar and we don't know it. Like we have to really take control of our mental health, because it's fine to be a vegan, but if your mental health is sick, your mental health affects your body. So we have to take a grasp on that area. But you know, other than that, man, we're pushing through. Like we're trying our best to really get it together. We really are. I just wish that our music that we push could really take a big change. In my opinion, that is one of the things that has one of the biggest impacts on our people is music. We are a musical people. We are a people of rhythm, a people of energy. So we respond to music in ways that others do not. And we're fed poisonous negative music, you know, which is what the majority of the music is today that's popular, and that's going to also affect us as well, adults and children.
Right. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. That's another canvas, that's another paintbrush, you know, to get implanted upon the mind, and it leads to, you know, many of these things. Drugs are used as an escape, you know.
Yes.
So it's an escape. You say, oh, you know, these children are using a lot of drugs. Why? You understand what I'm saying? Why?
Right.
You know, that's that question, you know. And also, this, you know, these things are gateways, you know, for other things. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So a lot of this, you know, dysfunction, you know, oftentimes, they, you know, I said, what has a young African child been given to be proud of? You know, they like, they like self-hate. I'm like, I would hate me too if I didn't know anything about me, you know?
Thank you.
The beautiful thing, my father, he just turned 64
awesome.
The week before last.
Happy birthday,
my uncle, he turned 71. And I was, you know, talking to my children about their names. There's a story behind your name, you know, telling them about their names and their birth. There's a story behind their birth, and no two births are alike, you know. There's a story behind your name, what your name means, who you are. You know, all of these things are akin and aligned. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact that when we were taken from the mother continent, when we were taken away from our mother, that they took our name, meant everything. You see what I'm saying? You know, so when you attribute these things to like Americanism, you know, that's a name. That's a name. That's a tumultuous history. That's a story where you're in a state of oppression. You see what I'm saying? You're in a state of colonialism. You're not in a state of liberation. But you have the appearance outwardly of that you're free, that you can do anything you want, you can go anywhere, and blah, 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 until you're met with this opposition to remind you that you're in a prison. You see what I'm saying? That you're in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime you need to show a piece of paper to go somewhere, you're asking for permission. You need permission to travel. You cannot go anywhere you want to go. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, again, the initial process of, you know, birthing, you know, to say you come from a society is your name. So, you know, thinking about your name, like my mother and my father and I, we share the same name. You know, this is unique to us. You know, this, we share the same name, you know. In the Arabic, it's Mukmin. My mother was Mukmina. My father was Mukmin. You know, I'm named after my father and mother. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So in that height of, in state of awareness, them coming in to consciousness, them, you know, teaching our people health, them teaching our people discipline, you see what I'm saying? Self-restraint, you know, all of these things, you know, I was born out of that spiritual awakening and union, out of that marriage that exists between them. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I found myself early on doing a lot of those things, you know, wanting to help people and save people at the expense most of the time of my own self. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a part of, you know, the name, you know, Mukmin. Mukmin is one of the 99 attributes of Allah, means the believer. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you can believe in someone, you know, so much, to the max. You know, if they say, you know, hey, you know, now I was born with your religion, African people, you know, black people, my religion, that's my people. You understand what I'm saying? That's my religion.
Talk about it.
You know, because that's, you know, it's not just, you know, what I'm doing, it's who I am. And it's in my name. You can see the evidence. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, it's there. So I'm not doing something that's contrary to why I'm here. And every time that I tried to do something in my life development that was contrary to my purpose, I didn't find any peace, and I fell into a grave state of depression. You see what I'm saying? Because of that. So not only are we dealing with people who don't know their name, they don't know why they're here. You see what I'm saying? So now we're caught in a position to where we know we can do better. You know how, you know, the teachers would be like, we know you can do better. And mom would be like, you know you can do better. You just half-assed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't sit down with anyone and say, this is why you're here. You see what I'm saying? This is why I named you what I named you. And if they knew those things, if they knew, like, I can give you my birth story. I can give you the story of the first year of my life. You would know exactly why I don't fuck with white people. What, no book? You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you knew the first year of my life, because they always like to ask you, well, what have white people done to you personally? Like, you don't have enough time on your schedule to hear these stories.
I know that's
you
right
understand?
At all.
So, right. So I'm like, when we start talking about these things, it's like, okay, but, you know, it goes back to the name. You know, it goes back to that birthing process, and that thing is special, it's sacred, and it's there for a reason. And you remember it, so you're able, you know, to tell it, and you can tell your children, you know, I named you this after this person or that, or this or this or this. You see what I'm saying? You know, because it begins to, you know, build a sense of belonging that they may scour the earth for the rest of their life, from relationship to relationship, experience to experience, seeking to belong. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if they have a family, if they have a name, if they have a story, they have a connection. You see what I'm saying? So no matter what the world has to say about them, they know who they are. You know? So I think these are some of the things that you brought out in the book, you know, Perceptions of a Misplaced African, because you're giving us a sense of identity, a sense of self, walking us through the journey. Like, I see you. I feel your pain. You see what I'm saying? I feel your struggle. It's akin. Like, we're relating. We're going through the same struggle. You see what I'm saying? It's not a battle. It's not a situation of one-upsmanship. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I got it bad or I got it worse. Like, nah, we're in prison. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying? Like, we in prison. You know, we might got a Rolls Royce, but what good is a Rolls Royce in prison? You might got a Bentley or a Maybach, or you might got a whole bunch of money in the bank, but what good is it in prison? Who can you help in prison? You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, who can you help if you're not healthy? You know, if you're not right, if you don't know who you are, who can you help find the identity? You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, you know, when there's no identity, there's an identity crisis. You see? So we're in a state of crisis, but we are fighting to get well. We're fighting to get well. And with each generation, you know, the warriors, they continue to come, and they're more angry than the generation that preceded it because they have to come. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I got to do some work that you ain't do? Like, oh, yeah. Oh, all right. You see what I'm saying? Right. You see, so, you know, so it's not going to be a situation of respect if respect is not mutually given. Like, my children, we spoke straight ever since they was born, straight up, back and forth. And more times than me speaking, me listening was most important. I just listened to them. And when I listened to them and they talk, please, they got the wisdom of you know, millions of years flowing out of their mouth. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, yep, yep, yep. So they're like, okay, well, we could talk to Daddy then, I guess, you know, Daddy, all right. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a trust situation. You see what I'm saying? So that line of communication is open. But once you close it, once you start saying no, and it's not like that, and you're trying to correct them and all that, it's like, all right, you know, the hell with him. We ain't telling him shit. We're going to tell him what he want to hear because he ain't ready for it now. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, we was just talking about earlier, you know, what to put on my altar. You know what I'm saying? When I transition, like, hey, don't just go get me no. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have conversations, and they, you know, my son will be 5 tomorrow. You know, he turns 5. My older son, he'll be 8 in February. You know, so, you know, we had them conversations from 2. You know, so with each generation, you can get an opportunity to, you know, right the wrongs, and tend to the neglect, because a lot of the times we were not in a position in America to even be human, let alone be parents or grandparents.
That's
like, you see what I'm saying? You can't even be human. Like, I was talking to my daughter and I said, you never seen an example of a black woman your whole life. And she looked like, huh? I said, the television, the movies, the videos, the pictures, they're all created by white men who tell you what black women are.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even know. You don't even know. You see what I'm saying? So if you don't learn it here, if you don't learn it from people that you love, you're not going to learn it. Because the world is going to give you a perception. Again, back to it. You know, a perception of who they think you are and who you should be according to them. You see what I'm saying? Somebody who can never be you.
In traveling. That's one thing we need to do more of as Black people and as families, is travel. Because when you travel outside of America, you can see very clearly that they have a strict definition of what the Black woman is. Because when you travel, you see so many versions of the Black woman, and you see the original woman in her original form, in her original land. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, you see that it's more so as by design. That's one thing that we need to do is travel, because if we don't get our children out to see the world, they're only going to have one view of the world, which is what most of us have always had, just one American view of the world if you don't know anything else.
And that's what you bring around the world. You bring that. You bring that baggage with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, you're from America. You understand what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're an American. You see what I'm saying? Because of that air of arrogance and that air of European thinking, like, you show who your master is when you go places, and you want, you know, people to bend their will to you, like, oh, you don't speak English? You understand what I'm saying? Like, what are you saying? You know, like, you know, so it's just that, you know, that kind of thing that we have, that we see. You see what I'm saying? So the identity crisis is real, especially for our young sisters. You see what I'm saying? And our young brothers, too. You see what I'm saying? Because they get a false narrative and they're thinking, okay, this is what, you know, a black woman is supposed to be like, because they didn't have fathers to teach them how to honor and respect black women. You see what I'm saying? And how in that process you honor and respect yourself. You know, just so there's a lot of that. And if they did have fathers and they were, you know, womanizers or whatever the case may be, this is what they breed. Another generation. You see what I'm saying? Another generation. Mm. So a lot of that, you know, trauma exists in spoiling and ruining, you know, the innocence that exists with our people in regards to the proper assignment of, you know, of living, you know, proper assignment of living. So you're robbed of a place of living, so you just can't wait to die. So you want to escape your reality, you know, you get these pills, whatever. You see what I'm saying? So you're in an altered state of existence because the pain of your existence is too hard, you know, and it's hard, and you can't love in that kind of environment because there's no love within yourself. So you're really just waiting to die. You're not even living, you know, not even living. And we come from a life affirming culture. So because we're not living, we're not in tune with nature. So nature begins to attack us in the same manner in which it attacks, you know, its enemies, because we're not in our natural state. We're in an unnatural state of thinking. So our being is affected by our thinking. So, I got all this stuff from Lili Lapuete Speaks book, by the way. So if y'all thinking, oh, okay, you know, knowledge dropping a little knowledge, this is all the things I'm inferring from that great book. So y'all better get that book. And I heard through the grapevine, you know what I'm saying? I heard through the grapevine that there's, you know, another project in the works. Can we get a little tea on that over here? Can we get a little tea?
Well, indeed, family. Of course, you know that this is a series because the first book is Perceptions of a Misplaced African, Volume 1. So the series is the Misplaced African series. The second book in the series is going to be Reflections of a Misplaced African. And so Reflections will be just what it seems like. Reflections on perception is more so how I view things, and my reflection will be going to go on re-reflecting upon certain things. So it'll be still a novel. It'll still be more visual, you know, but this one is going to be a little bit more interesting. I'm enjoying this one so far. Of course, I love Perception of a Misplaced African, but I think I might like this one a little bit more just because of the way that I see that it's going. But I am excited, and hopefully this one should be done. Not hopefully. It'll be done by January, and hopefully it'll be out by February later this month.
Black History Month.
Right. I
want to
get it out
for
Black History Month.
That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, it'd be an excuse to have our sister back on the platform again. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she could be a more featured guest than, you know, Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? Black Panther snuck on here a couple of times. So, you know, we got to have that going on. And I think that's going to be a beautiful opportunity again to reflect on and to hear these reflections. I think that's going to be a masterful project, you know. So can't wait, salivating, rubbing my hands together, you know. So folks should have called in. I don't know, you know, I people talking about free is for me, man. Well, I don't know what's happening, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
We got 10 free books, you know.
You know,
I think I'm gonna have to take them myself then, you know what I'm saying? Get my clients on,
right?
You know. You know, since they want
to
be rude,
brother.
You know,
right? And just pass them out.
You know, I got my autographed version. You know what I'm saying? So I'm proud. You know what I'm saying? They'll be like, you don't know, sister Oliva. So you know, when they blow up all over the planet, you know, where all these misplaced Africans is at. You know what I'm saying? And a million copies sold, 10 million copies sold out there.
Yeah.
They'll be like, you don't know the sister. I'm like, yes, I know her. Mm-hmm. Yes, look here in this book.
And I'm not just doing poetry books either, family. I'm a writer, so remember that. I'm a writer, so I'm working on other types of books as well. So all I want to say is, when sis blow up and be the next Jason
Long, right. Oh, so you got to talk somebody up. As soon as I say that, somebody called in. You know what I'm saying? Somebody called in, like, what you say, free? You know what I'm saying? We got my brother saved by Taji in the building, man.
It's a pool, bot.
It's a pool. Uncle Justin there.
Uncle Justin.
What's going on?
Uncle Justin there. Nothing much. I've been tuned into the show for a little minute now. Let's see. How long I've been on here? Let me see. Oh, well, damn, it's not letting me see. But, yeah, I've been on here for a little minute now. But I was enjoying the conversation, and, you know, sister, you definitely had, you know, a lot to say. I was really tuned in, you know, because, you know, born threw up a great question. You know, like, what are some things that, you know, we need to work on and some things that we're doing well on? And, you know, I want to thank you, you know, for speaking so powerfully and so passionately about the things that we are doing well. Because, you know, in this day and age, it seems that we tend to focus so much on what we're doing wrong, or, you know, what we're not accomplishing, and, you know, and, you know, after hearing so much of it, you know, after a while, it's kind of like, damn, though, I'm sure those of us who are on the phone right now, the three of us, you know, have no intentions of, you know, stop doing what it is that we're doing. But after, you know, hearing so much of, you know, what's not being done right, or, you know, what's being done wrong and all this and that, it kind of like puts that weight on you, like, damn, you know, what am I doing it for? So it's definitely great, and we'd always need, you know, every warrior needs to be reaffirmed, you know, as far as the things that are being done correctly, and the fact that we should keep doing them. But in that, you know, we do still need to be reminded of things we need to have corrected. So, you know, for me, that was a very, very touching moment in the conversation. So I want to thank the both of you, you know, for putting that together real quick.
Thank you, brother, for calling in.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I always tune in. I'm quiet for the most part, especially if it's on Saturday. You know, because Born knows I do my Metanetta study and putting stuff together. So that's actually what I'm doing right now.
Giving us all that homework. You know what I'm saying? Giving us all that homework. You know. So yeah. So do you got a copy of the book? Say bye.
I actually do not have a copy of the book.
Bam! First caller on the line. We got 9 books left, family. We got one going to say
we
bye.
Got 9
IG. Left. You know what I'm saying? We got 9 left. Okay. So you get a copy of
the
book.
Are we connected on Facebook?
I think so. We should be, but I mean, I can check real quick. But if not, I will most definitely be linking up with you through, you know, social media for sure.
Yeah,
but
you so I can get your address and send you a copy of the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that for sure.
There we go. You know.
But yeah, I also wanted to touch on one more thing that before I get up out of here and get back to this work. That touched me and, you know, resonates with me personally. When you were speaking about the music piece, it's as an artist, you know, I find it very important to push our music as well. There's in these last few years, you know, there's been a flood of politically and culturally aware music, and in regards to one of those things that we need to do better at, I feel as though, you know, because like you all were saying, you know, we're a musical people, so it's very important that, you know, as this music continues to come out, we make a concerted and very conscious effort to push this music the same way that we would any other music, you know, that's always out there. You know, we're in a time where the radio does not really it's not a major player anymore. At this time, you can put together your own playlist of whatever it is that you want to listen to and put it together mm-hmm. and just ride out to it and really never have to turn the radio on a day in your life. You know, there's so much music that I have for people I know personally and people I don't know. And when I notice when I play this music on a consistent basis, back to back to back to back, my mind begins to change, my energy, everything begins to shift because it's all in alignment with what I believe. So mm-hmm. it's as a people, especially being a musical people, you know, this is music has always been key part in our transitions, transformations, upliftments and liberations and all these things. Our music tells our stories. So we need to continue to make a concerted effort to make this a part of our everyday life, you know, imbue our lives, our way of living with music that reflects our culture, our values, morals, ethics, and all those good things. So I just wanted to add that 2 cents in there real quick.
All right. And shout out where they can get your music at, you know what I'm saying? Since you're here, you know, just drop that bomb video, that worldwide exclusive Juju video, you know what I'm saying? Tell them that.
Do I? Well, yeah, if y'all go on, well, since I'm on here, if y'all go on YouTube and search up 7 the Black Fist, 7 is spelled with the number 7, the capital letter V, then E-N. The is spelled T-H-A, and then Black Fist, two separate words. You can go on YouTube, search that up, and type in Juju along with it. It'll come up. If you want the War Cry mixtape, you can go on to Bandcamp and search up 7 War Cry. It should come up. Or you can go to Bandcamp/Untamed America, and that's America with 3 K's. And my page should show up there as well.
Okay. Okay.
America, what, how many kids?
3.
3.
That's how I spell it, too.
I had to say that shit for George Bush Sr. and shit, you know what I'm saying? Just in case, you know what I'm saying?
You a fool.
I'm having a good day, you understand? I'm having a good day.
Do what?
All right, so make sure you link up and get a copy of that book, and then buy your lady another copy. So you get your free copy, and then you buy your lady another copy, okay?
That's
so,
damn straight. Damn straight.
All right, so appreciate you calling in. You know what I'm saying? This wasn't in vain. We got 9 copies left. 9 copies left. 9 copies left. You know what I'm saying? So them other folks who listening on, they can't get it. You know what I'm saying? If they ain't called in up in this joint, you know what I'm saying?
Right on.
All right.
A good day, brother.
You too as well. Thank you.
Look at that. See, we wasn't talking to ourselves up in this joint, sister. We got some folk up in here, you know what I'm saying? Listening through the archive. You know, through the archive. So, yeah. What about them children, man? Can we take a moment and speak about the wonderful African children that know all of the continents and all of the countries on the continent, and you know what is that homeschool experience like, and can you share some experience for some of these new folk?
Speaking of the country, you're gonna have to work on that little one. She was living in the first time. She just got tests and wasn't great. We're gonna work on that one, but anyway, yeah. So we're gonna go to school. We just celebrated 1 year anniversary in September.
Hey.
So proud of that. I was proud of that. I mean, I was nervous the first time, but you know, you're not certain if you could do it. You know, it seems like it'll be too overwhelming. And initially it was. But you know, once we worked through the kinks and really figured out what would work for us, what didn't work for us, it's really been a really good experience, especially for me and the children. And I think one of the biggest things is that I can control what it is that they're learning, number one, and also control what they're being exposed to. Because a lot of times our children are exposed to some of everything, because I learned a lot of stuff in school that I never learned at home. You know, and that's one thing parents need to keep in mind. You know, they're quick to say, well, raise your children, you know, because they say that celebrities aren't role models, and these people are role models. But the bottom line, the bottom line is that, you know, your children will be exposed to these things no matter how hard you try to keep away from them. But definitely, if you send them off to school, you just can't control certain things that they are exposed to. And when they're homeschooled, you have that advantage. You have the advantage of being able to teach them on a higher level if they're on a higher level. If they may be still on a lower level on some subjects, you can bump it down on certain subjects. You know, you can teach them pretty much whatever you want to teach them. You feed them whatever you want to feed them, you know. So it's just a lot of bonuses to homeschooling. And I'm just really happy that I have the opportunity to be able to do so.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful, and I'm super proud and excited, and I believe that it needs to be promoted more opportunities for dialogue, more opportunities for testimonials, more opportunities to hear from our children their experiences. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, my daughter gave me a strong talking to one of these days. You know what I'm saying? She gave me a strong talking to. I thought my mama had walked in. You know what I'm saying? My mama and my aunts and everybody, you know, kind of came through her. And, you know, she gave me a strong talking to. And I had to, you know, reevaluate and think, like, damn, my daughter, you know what I'm saying? She came and, hey, set the record straight, you know. But it was a conversation that led to more conversations. If I would have been closed-minded to it, like, who the hell you think you're talking to? I'm the daddy, you the child. I'd have lost it. You know what I mean? I'd have lost it. Because, you know, that African woman said, well, okay, that's the end of that. So, you know, she was able to express herself in a way, and it was, you know, the communication lines, you know, stay open, especially after the teenage years. You know, she's going on 17, she almost 18, you know, she's been 18 ever since she was 2, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, them lines of communication and, you know, teaching her the way of the world and how the way the world operates, you see what I'm saying? It's a good experience, you see what I'm saying? So, you know, more of those dialogues where our children can say, you know, what they're learning and how they feel about what they're learning. I think that's, you know, I think that would be a good thrust in a way for, you know, for the children and the parents to hear from other children and other parents that are doing it, you know. So I think more dialogue should be had in that regard with all of the media that's circulating, and anybody can point and click with a camera. We could encourage that. You see what I'm saying? I don't have any issues with people using this technology. I think, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. I just think that, like with everything else, if it's misplaced, it's something that can be weaponized against us. But it's something that has garnered, you know, that's that. I was in Houston with Tahir RBG at a radio station a couple of years back. We did an event. Red Pill, Blue Pill, him was out in Houston, and I said, instead of, you know, calling people thumb warriors and keyboard ninjas and all this other terminology, grandiose terms that we use, I said, what about liberation propagandists? You know, why isn't it a situation with which, you know, this can turn into a career for them, or a way for them to be able to feed their families and things like that? If they're going to be there, well, why are you using this, you know, for a weapon? You know, companies hire people just for social media. They hire them just for their social media, to manage the social media, to interact with people, to answer questions and all of that. And this becomes a personable tool to be able to get that, you know, across, because you don't have all day to, you know, you got a whole lot in your 24 hours, Queen Mother. You see what I'm saying? So if somebody was dedicated to ensuring that, you know, perceptions of a misplaced African was all over the internet. It was in front of every place where it needed to be. You could rest easy and say, I'll pay you a couple of dollars. Hey, this is who I use. You see what I'm saying? That word spread.
Right.
Next thing you know, that person or those people, you know, are doing things for everybody. So it's simple, you know, it's simple things that just involve, you know, a change of the perception, if I can continue to use the word that I'm, you know, let me borrow for this conversation, you know, it's a change in the perception. And for themselves, even with them, you know, it's a situation that becomes empowering. So now they're going to watch what they put on social media. You know, it's a bunch of stuff that I see out there. I was like, I want to say something about this. You see what I'm saying? But I'm like, I built Dude Now's Radio. You see what I'm saying? I can't be on the internet and have a bad day. What would it be like? How would people even respond? Like, nah, I was had a bad day. Like, what's going on? I knew he was a fraud. I knew he wasn't no different than everybody else. You see what I'm saying? Like, people, it would be all of that. It would be everything other than, maybe I need to call him, see if he all right. You understand? Maybe I just need to hit the brother up. Hey, you good? You sure? Because he ain't acting like you. I ain't never heard that from you. You know what I mean? Like the things that we used to do, we check up on each other and all of that. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, instances, again, with, you know, dialogue that is fruitful, that is edifying, that is, you know, uplifting. Like, you know, my brother Taji said when he came through, you know, that worry check, like, you know, check up and just keep those lines open as, you know, continued motivation. Like, man, you know, somebody get it. I was on another show, and the brother came and was like, man, you know, when you coming back with the shows, I miss them. I was like, huh? People into this? People be listening to this? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, because, you know, you just don't know unless they call it live and they
That's
say
true.
Something. So, you know, you see the numbers or whatever, but you don't know the people. They're just numbers, you know. So
right.
It's a good opportunity. This spot, we got about 750... 2 or 53 shows today.
Right.
And we're just continuing, you know, to go. I love opportunities like this where, you know, the support goes beyond a thumb or a heart eye or, you know, a laugh emoji or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? We really support each other. We really do support each other, you know, wholeheartedly. You know what I mean?
That's what we got to get to, my brother. We got to get past the surface level. I'm going to call it support, even though it's hard. But we have to get away from just people's products and just sharing their products, because we have to actually put our money where our mouth is, where we
right.
say that. We support our people. It's like we support them up until it comes to spending money. And then when
right.
it comes to spending money, it's like that's where the support stops. And ultimately,
right.
people can't pay their bills or take care of their families based off me sharing their posts. But, hey, if I go buy two of my sister's dresses that she's selling, she might be able to have dinner for that night. Like, I don't
right.
think we can think about We don't think about that. We don't view each other that way. And I always, I'm thankful for the parents that I had, because they raised us to view yourself or to view others the way that you would want yourself to view. Like, if someone is selling something, a brother, I don't necessarily, but I want to support them. You know, so I spend my money, and it's like, we all have to have the same mindset. If we really supported each other and really circulated the black dollar in the black community, we would be doing so much better. We really would.
I agree. So just take every opportunity, all of these, you know, all of these components together in a holistic, consistent fashion is something
mm-hmm.
that would make, you know, make strides.
Okay.
So I don't want to take up all your time. I'm thankful for the time that you did give us. If you had your book with you, if you had one of your favorite joints out of the book, if you could read it, I think You know, I snuck one out of you last time, so I'm trying to, you know, keep it balanced. You know what I'm saying? You can sneak one out, you know. So for that one person, he's gonna actually get the book so he can be able to read them himself. You know, I love they lied to you. You know, I love that. I love that one. You know, it's close.
Oh, yeah.
It's close to my heart. Yeah. But if you can,
I'm gonna read that one then.
Okay.
Okay, family, I'm going to be reading They Lie. It is poem number 18 in Perceptions of a Misplaced African, Volume 1. We do still have 9 free copies available. Get your copy now. If you don't get them then, you can get it at www.lilylapuertespeaks.com from the marketplace. They lie to you. Young brother, you're more than a rapper or a hooper. You never have and never will be a thug or a shooter. You don't need the Ruger. You are not a nigger. Your potential is bigger than what you have been told. You will finish school and know that sagging is not cool and banging just ain't you. You can overcome any obstacle. Whatever you wish to make happen is possible. You will obtain knowledge of self. You will not jeopardize your health. You will not go to jail. You were not born to fail. So smile and exhale and know that you're greater than the words of any hater, and you will not be another named offender on their statistical data. You will break the cycle. Excuse me. You won't be defeated. Focus hard on your goals, and they will be completed. Never give up. Keep your head up. Remain positive at all times. No matter how many days it rains on you, eventually emerges the sunshine. Peace and love, family. I appreciate everyone having me out tonight. I am, once again, Lady La Poete Speaks, a.k.a. Alima Njai, author of Perceptions of a Misplaced African, Volume 1, available now at www.lilylapoetespeaks.com. Reflections of a Misplaced African, Volume 2, which is a book in the Misplaced African series, will be available, family, no later than March of 2019.
Hey, nobody know what time it is other than you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So closing remarks, one more time, the social media link, and one more last time. I know you just said it one more last time where they can get the book. You know.
Once again, family, I am Alima Njai. If you want to follow me on Facebook, that's A-L-I-Y-M as in Mary, A, last name Njai, that's N as in Nancy, J-I-E. You can follow me on Instagram at Lili La Poete, that's L-E-L-E-L-A-P-O-E-T-E. You can subscribe to my website, or you can get your copy of the book or some other cool things that we have in the marketplace at www.lilylapoetespeaks.com. That's LeelaPoeteSpeaks.com. Get your copy today. Subscribe today. I write a blog. So get up on the blog, family. Get up on the blog. Got about 200 subscribers. I'm happy. Let's get to 500 before the end of the year. Subscribe, family. Join us Sundays on the Ram Book Club, Resurgence of the African Mind. You can follow me on Facebook to get the links, or inbox and follow Deanna Bailey, that's D-E-A-N-N-A, Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, on Facebook. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah. 9 free copies left for anybody who's still listening. If you want to line now and you want your free copy of Perceptions of the Misplaced African, all you have to do is press 1. We'll bring you on. If not, I don't know what Sister Lee we're going to do with the other 9 copies. So y'all might have to holler. Oh, see, as soon as I said it, somebody calling. Hey, somebody said free is for me right now. You're going to go to area code 813-787-813-787. You're on live. Do Knowledge Radio. Knowledge Born a Lot. And Sister Alima is in the building.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I just want to know, can I get a free copy even though I'm her husband?
Somebody get this man off the line.
Let me get this together.
Here you go with these bombs, man.
You know what I'm saying? Black Panther is in the building, you know.
Storming Black Panther.
Hell, I feel I'm on the live business to everybody watching, man. I just came to show my support. I can't stay too long, but, you know, just wanted to come in and show some support. Always with my wife's talented poems. I'm glad people are tuning in. I'm glad people are listening. It's a good thing, you know. So there are multiple ways to express oneself in this community. Some people are lecturers. Some people are, you know, artists. Some people are poets. Some people are drawers, you know, and artists. So I'm just glad she's getting it out in her way. So please, family, support. Everyone that supports me should support her in turn. And, you know, just wanted to show some support and, you know, rap my man Knowledge Born. You know, we go back like, you know, back seats on the Cadillac.
Yeah. You know, lecturers.
Okay.
You know, you said lecturers, you know what I'm saying? You got some pretty fine
lectures
out there. You know what I'm saying? You got some pretty fine lectures out there in them streets. You know what I'm saying? some writing of your own there, Dr. Ben. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta go with that Dr. Ben stuff, man. Look, man.
Hey.
There is one Dr. Ben.
I know you can fight. Those folks, they don't know. They don't know. So if they called you Uncle Ben, they might get the chin knocked loose. So, you know, rather than take time than having somebody
like
have to wake up after calling you Uncle Ben. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
I don't like the Uncle Ben there.
You might have to get woke up.
Y'all crazy. But, yeah, I have to actually go because they're cleaning the area that I was using for the phone. You know, Knowledge Born know about them MWRs. So I'm using. So, you know, if y'all continue, please, everybody call in and support. And y'all know, keep doing y'all thing, man. Peace, power, to African liberation. I will talk to you later, love. I love you.
Love you, baby.
Look at that. Yeah. Woo. Look at that. I was about to say, I know you ain't going without shouting out Black Panther, but shit, hey, we had it happen already. See how that works, you know what I'm saying? Ancestors be in the building, boy, I think. All the time. Well, I guess we could officially close the broadcast. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
We crossed every T, dotted every I, did every little check. Thank you for your inspiring work and your shining example of African motherhood and womanhood and sisterhood.
Thank you once again for having me on. Thank you for being a pillar in our community. There's not many like you. We need more. You don't support this brother, you need to support this brother, support the show, support him when he has people on. I got to do better and make sure that I join and listen on and call in and offer up more support as well. Let's support this brother and other people who are using their platforms to change for African people. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, Ashe.
Ashe.
Right. So we up out of here. Love and honor to you, sis. Be cool to
you. All right. Peace and love to you, brother.
All right, so we out of here, family. If you like what you heard, subscribe to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/DotheKnowledgeRadio. That's DotheKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at DotheKnowledgeRadio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter. And you can also follow the show on Instagram. Knowledge Born Alive 357 on Instagram. We got one more person who need to come on who ain't got a copy of the book. So we got eight copies left. We got eight copies left now. We got my brother Equadee in the building. What's going on, Equadee?
A hotel pool, Uncle Jocelyn, Black Power, beautiful family, Brother Born, Sister Alima, Black Panther. Hopefully the brother Black Panther somewhere around, but salute.
Just missed him. I got to ask you, Kwani, do you got a copy of the book?
No, sir, I don't, but I got a...
Get a hold of Sister Aline, you get a copy of the book, you get a free copy, and then make sure you peel off some of them duckets to get my Sinet Gabette a copy of that book, you understand? So you get a free copy, and it ain't a sharing copy. You get your copy, and you get a copy for the queen, you understand what I'm saying? And you got a couple of daughters... So you get a copy for all the daughters you got, you understand? So bam, hey, peel them off. I'll give you one free. The other ones you're going to have to get on your own, my brother. You know?
That's right. It's some good work from definitely from what everybody's been speaking on it, and from what I've been hearing, and nothing but good words. So in these days and times, I want to say thank you for those types of works that we are able to get our hands on, especially with our young Black girls. You know, I got four. I got a whole house of them. So it's good that they have something beside the Hollywood Housewives or something else to you know, help them enhance their learning or help them to engage their thinking. So hey, that's we all down for it. So we gonna get them, bro, and sis.
Talk about it.
There you go. You see. See how it works, you know what I'm saying? Get a little something, you get a lot of something. You understand what I'm saying?
That's
You know, you probably need money longer than train smoke, you know what I'm saying? So he can do it.
Hey, don't be lying, boy. You're going to go to hell, boy. You're going to hell.
Well, link up with me on Facebook. Are we friends on Facebook?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Who am I speaking to? Who is it?
Equanee, Shai M. Ho.
Oh, yeah. Yep, you are. I know
who
this is.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, inbox me your address.
Okay. I definitely will, sis. And I guess we'll, you know, try to make arrangements, to get some more copies with you as well. And how much are the copies again, sis?
On the website, I think I got them at $15.99, but I'm going to be reducing the price. Because my new book is about to come out, so I'm actually going to be changing it to $12.99 today. That'll be the new price.
Okay, and that sounds good. And also, Sister Alima, I had a question. From what I was seeing, I guess you still hard working at your homeschooling duties. Might you be able to, be available for those that might want to know more? Get geared or set up?
Most definitely. Anybody can contact me. They can add me on Facebook, and we can chop it up anytime.
Okay. All right, sis. Much love. Thank you for your hard work. The family. You know, so it's good to see you all moving in the right direction. Good
Thank
show,
you, brother.
Brother.
There we go.
Peace and love, family.
Hotel pool.
All right.
Nice.
See, there we go. You know what I'm saying? Eight books left for the family out there. Got some strong family conversation going on. Some warriors calling in for the family, okay? You know, contrary to popular belief, African men, we learn from African women, okay? So, you know, you hear the brother ask questions. Queen Mother, hey, how can I get my life together? You understand what I'm saying? So, hey, this is good. You know, only an African woman can edify you like that, okay? You see what I'm saying? Cats, rats, and dogs, I don't know what they can get you fleas or infections or infestations. I don't know. They can get you George Bush. That's what happened to you. George Bush Sr.
Talk about it.
Hey. Well, we actually going to leave for real this time. You know, I seen that. I was like, nah, we can't leave out. Turn into something. You see what I'm saying? So my family working together, cooperative economics, my brother Equanee, my brother Taji, they're going to buy some copies of the book, even though they're getting one for free. I think that's a beautiful experience. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to do with them other 8 copies, but we're going to figure something out. So,
talk about
again,
it. We will figure it out.
We're going to figure it out, you know. So that, we're really leaving up out of here. Thank you again, Sister Lima, for coming through, spending this time, and going over the time, you know, that we normally give. But, hey, always right on time.
It's all good. Appreciate you having me.
And we'll be back, you know, for Reflections of a Misplaced African, you know, the promo tour. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
the promo
yes.
Tour.
I'm definitely going on tour. I didn't get the tour, really. Well, we went to a few places, but I actually want to set up a tour with this book to really push the series. So look for that in 2019. 2019 is going to be popping, family, so look out.
That's right. The Right of Return. You know what I'm saying? We're getting this Africa tour on, too. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to get...
And
going to put the
list... Oh, that's still in the works. I'm not even going to talk about it. Y'all just going to look up and be like, damn, what's this doing in Gambia?
That's right. Ooh. That's right. All right. So we're going. All right. Peace, love, and black power, African liberation. Yeah.
Peace, power.
I think the important thing for people to understand is that in America we have an education system that does not speak to the needs of African children. We want to be able to be who we are, talk how we talk, walk how we walk, live how we want to live, and be producers and providers for our children in the future. We want to be African.
When the way the world is on your shoulders, let the power within us.
Family, we gave the world humanity. We made this world a city.
music has done. It served as an alternative communication mechanism and given African children in this country some of the only understanding of African history that they'll ever receive.
There was a period of time in this country after Reconstruction where African people owned a lot of land, owned a lot of businesses, and did a lot of things. But what happened was the American government, the Ku Klux Klan, and other organizations organized in smashing that effort. So it's not that we haven't tried to own land and have not organized businesses. It's that if you are African in America or in Latin America or in the Caribbean or in the continent, you will be hunted.